ध्यायामूलविलापण्डनमतीं तेजोमयीमेष्टिकीं स्निग्धावाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी अम्मे निम्पदतारुवीणभयमिन्नोदीर्मीणे चन्नेत्रकरपल्लवाल् तरुगीं स्नेहामृतं तूकियम् സമ്മോദത്തോട് സാന്ത്വനങ്ങൾ അരുളും തേജസ്വിനി സദ്ഗുരു ബ്രഹ്മാനന്ദരസം വഴിഞ്ഞ പൊരുളെ നീ തന്നെയാണ് ആശ്രയം. ബ്രഹ്മാനന്ദരസം വഴിഞ്ഞ പൊരുളെ നീ തന്നെയാണ് ആശ്രയം. ബ്രഹ്മാനന്ദരസം വഴിഞ്ഞ പൊരുളെ നീ തന്നെയാണ് ആശ്രയം. യസ്മാന്നോദ്വിജതെ ലോകോ ലോകാന്നോദ്വിജതെ ചയഃ അർഷാമർഷഭയോദ്വേഗൈഃ മുക്തോ യഃ സ ച മേ പ്രിയഃ യസ്മാന്നോദ്വിജതെ ലോകോ ലോകാന്നോദ്വിജതെ ചയഃ ഹർഷാമർഷഭയോദ്വേഗൈഃ മുക്തോ യഃ സ ച മേ പ്രിയഃ മുക്തോ യഃ സ ച മേ പ്രിയഃ യസ്മാന്നോദ്വിജതെ ലോകോ ലോകാന്നോദ്വിജതെ ചയഃ ഹർഷാമർഷഭയോദ്വേഗൈഃ മുക്തോ യഃ സ ച മേ പ്രിയഃ അനപേക്ഷശുചിർദക്ഷ ഉദാസീനോ ഗതവ്യതഃ സർവാരംഭപരിത്യാഗീ യോ മദ്ഭക്തഃ സ മേ പ്രിയഃ അനപേക്ഷശുചിർദക്ഷ ഉദാസീനോ ഗതവ്യതഃ സർവാരംഭപരിത്യാഗീ യോ മദ്ഭക്തഃ സ മേ പ്രിയഃ. So Krishna is giving more qualities about the qualities of a Jivan Mukta, of a realized master, a true Bhakta. So in going back again, a true Bhakta is one who is established in Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That means who has gone through, who may have or may not have gone through, but who is clear about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, who is residing in the truth, in the Dvitiya Satyam. That's what we saw in the previous shlokas. Such is a person who is always residing in that truth, irrespective of what is the situation, what is the surrounding, but ever situated in the truth of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, or always residing in Brahman, always thinking about Brahman, therefore always blissful. Such a person, or he is a Brahmanishta, he is a person who is established in Brahman, in the truth. The truth never escapes his mind. His mind is always residing in truth. That is the Bhakta who has been spoken about here. So that we can, the purpose, as we discussed, is the main purpose for a seeker is to judge where he stands with respect to the spiritual path, where he stands with respect to the goal of being or becoming a Bhakta like that, becoming a true Bhakta who is ever residing in Brahman, and what are the advantages. So the main advantage, the main use of being such a Bhakta is that fulfills life, that fulfills the purpose of life, that fulfills the goal of moksha, that fulfills or gives us anandam, which is the main purpose of life. Anandam or santushta satatam. Satatam santushtaha, he is ever content. So ever contented state is what is the goal that we get, or is the fruit that we get out of being established in Brahman, which means becoming a real bhakta. That is what Krishna is speaking about in this, in the previous two shlokas. He spoke and he is going to speak in the next few shlokas as well. So the purpose is to analyze as to where we stand, and it's not just analysis. There is no point of just analyzing. So making, as we discussed, making our conviction of Jagan Mithya more and more strong, so that beyond the conditions of the world, beyond the limitations of the world, obstacles, or amidst all the obstacles that we face in the spiritual path, still being able to be established in Brahman, still having the mind that focuses on Brahman and knows the world to be an illusion, not renouncing the world but knowing the world to be an illusion and acting accordingly. The mind and our kaya vang manaha, all three words, mind as well as actions, reflect that state of knowing the world to be an illusion, which means unaffected state. Whatever happens externally doesn't matter. Actions just happen like a normal thing, like a normal person. A jnani does an action, similar way jnani also does action, but being unaffected by the action as well as by the result of the action, that is what is to be achieved. That is what is the goal. And when we achieve that, if we achieve that, that is a real bhakta. So we can judge ourselves as to where we stand to that goal. That state of always residing in Brahman, that state of being unaffected by the world, means always being aware of Jagan Mithya. Whatever happens, irrespective of what happens externally, still knowing that the world is an illusion, knowing that things around us is an illusion, and remembering Brahman. So that is what is being spoken about. So yasman na udvijate lokah, lokat na udvijate chayah. Udvegam means, udvegam is anxiety, or anxiety here it has to be interpreted as distress or troubled state. So one who is not troubled by the world, yasmat na udvijate lokah, lokam, the world is not troubled by such a person, and such a person, lokat na udvijate cha yaha yaha, and who is not distressed by the world. So both ways, which means that the person doesn't trouble the world doesn't trouble the person. Both ways it works. So this cannot really happen unless a person is established in Brahman, unless Samatvam and all those what we spoke previously as Atma, all those, without all those we cannot be in such a state. We may be a politician, we may be able to control others through fear, but that doesn't mean the world is not troubled by us. Even the best of the person, a person who has a very good attitude or very good nature, like for example Narayana Murthy or any other person who is known, who is a well-known figure, who is accepted by many people as a gentlemanly figure, even such a person would not be accepted by the entire world. So the entire world cannot be untroubled by the person. Some people will definitely be troubled, some people will be against him, some people have to be against him. That's how the nature, the world works. Depending on irrespective of one's nature, that will be there. But if a person has to be untroubled by the world and the world has to be untroubled by the person, then that means the person is residing in oneness. The person is not affected by the world. That is the only way this can happen. Even with Mahatmas like Amma, for perfect examples of these bhaktas, there are people who go against such bhaktas. Balakrishna Nair, people of Amma's followers criticize Balakrishna Nair, saying that he doesn't accept an avatara. Many others also do criticize Balakrishna Nair. People who even come to Balakrishna Nair, they come out of the discourse, and after that they say, oh, he says all this Brahman, 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 it's not possible, it's not practical, it is impractical whatever he is telling. So be in his presence, listen to everything, and when coming out, after coming out, just criticize him. The same happens with Amma. Amma loves the entire world. That means Amma is untroubled by the world. But is the world untroubled by her? No, because people go against Amma. People criticize Amma. People accuse Amma. There are many people who are just doing that, accusing Amma, trying to find out faults with Amma, trying to find out as to, or trying to prove that Amma is wrong. Amma is not a Mahatma. That Amma has like all of other drugs or drug business, this, that, and all. Those things do really happen. So that means then, how is it that Krishna is telling this particular situation can never happen? It can only happen when a person is unaffected by the world. So it's like what Amma says about action. So action, how action works, or action works is that when somebody does some action, somebody does say something to us, let's say we don't react or respond back. We either react or respond. We don't do any of those. We don't react back at all. So it's like telling that it's like a wall. We are like a wall. Nothing passes through. So then what would happen is it has to hit it and then it will reflect back to the person. So which means that the person is in a state, or the external person who said something, he is in the same state as beginning. He'll be in a more worse state. To be frank, he'll be in a more worse state. But this is really what it means, is that we are unaffected by what the person is telling. So ultimately, maybe for 10 minutes he'll get very angry. But then what will happen? He will realize that, okay, what have I been doing? I've been hitting a stone. It's as good as hitting a stone. It's as good as holding a stone. It will not react back. So it is as good as that. Therefore, it is coming back to me. What is the point? He'll stop. That means finally, he will also be in an untroubled state. That is the real state. So with respect to action also, we can have this particular state wherein the world is untroubled by the person is untroubled by the world, only when the person knows that the world is an illusion, which means he doesn't react or respond. We will not react and respond to actions as long as we are the Sakshi, or we have offered everything to Ishvara. Both of which case there is no action, or we are not the Karta. Kartrutvam is not there. Therefore, we will not have Bhuktritam, which means anything with respect to us or anything with respect to the particular person will not matter for the world. The world will go back to its normal or natural state. So the same as trying to hit something which is very stationary. If we try to hit a wall, if we hit a boxing glove or pad or whatever it's called, if we hit, then it will come back. But a stationary object like a wall, if we try to hit, nothing will happen. So that means it's the same state. We'll be get angry for 5 minutes maybe, and after that we'll go back to the normal state, natural state. So that is how it can happen. That's one way of seeing it at the empirical level, or the ultimate perspective, or the real perspective is that the world is untroubled by the person and the person is untroubled by the world, because the person is in the state of Brahman, whereas the world is Mithya. So the person is Satyam, whereas the world is Mithya. So it's like the dreamer and the dream world. The dreamer is unaffected by the dream world, whether he knows, whether he acknowledges or not. He is unaffected. He knows he is unaffected when he wakes up. So he wakes up, but still he daydreams. He is a person who is so much used to dreaming that he daydreams. So that means he is awake. He knows he is awake, but still he dreams. Such a situation, if that is there, that means the dream person is unaffected by the dream world, because both are at different planes, different perspectives. The world is an illusion, whereas the person is real. The person is in the state of Brahman. The person is Advitiyam, Advaita Satyam, whereas the world is Dvaitam. So both are contrary in nature. Both don't conflict. There will be no relation or association between both, except that of a Adhishtanam, except that of a substratum, and the illusion that is seen in the substratum, in which case as well there is no real relationship. That is the only way that a person is unaffected or untroubled by the world, and the world is untroubled by the person. So that is what is meant here. So if we take Amma's example, it's a perfect example. Whether the world scolds her or not, accuses her or not, she remains still the same. She is untroubled by the world, and the world is also untroubled by her. So untroubled in the sense, people come to Amma, and their first darshan, they change quite a lot. That means they are troubled by Amma. They are not really troubled by Amma, that is not troubling. It is just making a better person. And ultimately, is it being troubled from Amma's perspective? Is it being troubled? It's not at all being troubled at all. So from the ultimate perspective, that's what we have to understand, that such a person is residing in Jagan Mithya. He always has that. That means he is untroubled by the world and the world is untroubled by him. And at the empirical level, like actions, we don't even need to analyze about that action perspective as well. We can just understand that the person is not untroubled by the world because he is a Sakshi. The world is not untroubled. World is not troubled by the person. World is untroubled by the person because the world only progresses as per the person. Amma's actions only help the world to progress. It doesn't help the world to get into anxiety or distress. Amma doesn't take the world into a troubled state. She is taking the world from a troubled state. So as Ramana Maharshi used to say, the very presence of a Mahatma is good for the entire world. So that means presence of Balakrishna or Amma is going to help the entire world. Helping the entire world in a positive way is not troubling. That means there will be no distress from the person to the world. That's how what we can understand. And Amma's actions are perfect examples of that. Whether she is touching an object, whether she is sitting idle or doing anything, there will be no harm done to anything in the entire world. Not even insentient objects as well. For insentient objects like trees or other things as well, Amma doesn't do it that way. Like she even walks in front of the car. So when she gets out of the car, she doesn't walk behind the car, because if you walk behind the car, it is disrespecting the car. Therefore, she walks in front of the car, respecting the car to be Brahman or pervaded by Ishvara. So that means insentient objects as well are helped by Amma. They are not troubled. So they are untroubled by the Mahatma. So that is what Krishna says here. So the world doesn't trouble a person, and the person is not troubled by the world, such is a state of a Jivan Mukta. So at the ultimate or paramarthika level, the person knows Jagan Mithya. At the Vyavaharika level, he knows Jagan Mithya, but he knows that everything is Samarupam in Ishvara, which means everything is pervaded by Ishvara. So he will respect each and everything in the world, which means that nothing will be troubled, because it's like troubling Ishvara, troubling himself, which cannot happen. So everything from such a person will be for the benefit of the entire world. And harsha amarsha bayo dvegaihi baya harsha amarsha baya udvegaihi muktaha. So a person muktaha, a person who is liberated from harsha amarsha baya and udvega, and such a bhakta is dear to me. Muktaha, yes, such a me priyaha, such a person is very dear to me. So he is muktaha, he is liberated from harsha, amarsha, bhaya and udvegam. So Krishna gives like four qualities here. Harsham, harsham means being very happy. Joy is the translation of harsham, very happy. Amarsham, so amarsham means not having patience. So cannot wait even for a second. That is the state of amarsham. Harsha amarsham bhaya. Bhaya means fear. Fearing one thing or one person, anything. Fearing anything. And udvegam. Udvegam again we know distress. So udvegam with respect to the world. If a person has to have udvegam with respect to the world is what is there. That means he'll be free from udvegam. So he will be free from distress. We already know from the first line of the shloka. Harsham, he will not become very joyful. He will not become amarsham, he will not become impatient. that something is not there, he'll not have fear as well. So harsham is not possible because he is harsham, or joy state is when we are in a state of sorrow, or we are in a state which is tainted by sorrow, and then we get some happiness immediately, or suddenly we get a happiness, we become very joyful. Such a state is impossible because sama dukkha samaha. Such a person is maintaining equanimity with respect to sukham and dukkham, and also because such a person is immersed in bliss, there is no more anandam possible because he is full of anandam. It's like, as Amma says, it's like a tumbler which is filled with water. It is completely filled with water. We cannot pour more water into it. So anandam is already there. So there cannot be any happiness or sukham. Therefore, harsham is ruled out. And amarsham, impatience, is with respect to getting things, whether it is vyavaha, like worldly things, laukikam or atmiyam or spiritual. Whatever something, if we want something, that is when we become impatient. Okay, we cannot wait for it. We want it dearly. Such a waiting or seeking is not there because for such a person, he has known everything, he has attained whatever has to be attained, krita kritya bhavam, therefore there is no amarsham. And bhayam, there is no bhayam, because as Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, dviti yad bhai bhayam bhavati. Bhayam, fear starts with considering something apart from ourselves, something dual is there, means duality is there, fear starts. If everything is one entity, then we want fear. If the entire world, even if we consider the entire world as our family, we will not fear. We don't fear our own people or people around us. We live with our own parents and brothers and sisters, then we don't fear them. We don't fear in the house, we don't fear, because all are our. And when the entire world has become one for such a Mahatma, who sees everything as one, who sees everything as Namarupam in Brahman, which means everything is Brahman, there is no dvaitam. If there is no dvaitam, then how can there be fear? Fear is when something is beyond mamata, or beyond the circle of mind, that is when fear starts. Basically, that means, that is a specific way of putting it. Basically, we also fear our own parents, and even mamata also we fear. My people also we fear, that is the human mind, nature of the human mind. That means anything dual, anything apart from oneself, that is what we fear. We definitely fear that. But here it's not possible because such a person is situated in Advitiya Vastu. So bhayam is not possible. Udvegam is also not possible. Udvegam, or he cannot be harmed. He cannot get into a distressful state or distressed state, because distress arises out of again fear or something. Like something goes wrong, that's when we get that. But here nothing can go wrong because there is only Brahman. What to go wrong? Where to go wrong? How to go wrong? Why to go wrong? There's nothing to go wrong, which means there cannot be any distress. That's also, such a person is in always residing in Brahman, remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Therefore, he is unharmed or untroubled by the world, and the world is untroubled by him, which means there cannot be any udvegam. So that is the state of a person. So depending on whether we get harsham, amarsham, bhaya, udvegam and all, we can judge whether we are reaching towards the goal. When we go to Amma, we can have harsham little bit, but too much harsham when we meet Amma will be bad. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't get harsham, or not getting harsham even in Amma's presence is not the same as not going to Amma. It's not the same as not seeking the Guru or Sadguru. So we can say that, oh, I shouldn't have harsham. So harsham means I shouldn't be joyful if I get to listen to Amrita Swarupananda's speech. I shouldn't get harsham. That is a wrong perspective. It's a wrong interpretation, wrong understanding of what Krishna says here. So harsham, shouldn't have harsham means we shouldn't become overexcited over some discourse, overexcited over meeting Amma. But still, that doesn't mean we shouldn't meet Amma. It's quite different. Those are two different things. We should meet Amma because that is the only way we can realize, that is the only way with the help of Sadguru like Amma only we can realize. So we have to have that. That is attachment to Sadguru, or going again and again to Sadguru, having harsham when we meet the Sadguru. All those are in the way excluded from all these scriptural statements of shouldn't have harsham, shouldn't seek anything, shouldn't get attached. For a sadhaka, the Sadguru is beyond all limitations. So Sadguru should be there always, whether it is with harsham or ragam or dvesham, it doesn't matter, should be there and should be part, because Sadguru is the living example of Brahman. Without Brahman, there cannot be any sadhaka's life. Sadhaka's life itself will not exist without Brahman. So that should be there. But as far as possible, we should meet, go and meet Amma. We should be happy, like whenever we get an opportunity to meet Amma, we should look forward to meeting Amma, but we shouldn't get overexcited. If we get overexcited, then something will go wrong and we'll not be able to benefit out of Amma's presence. So overexcited state is this harsham. With respect to Mahatma, like Amma, joyous. We shouldn't become joyful. We should be happy to meet Amma. We should be able to be happy imbibing whatever we get from Amma's presence, rather than getting joyful. So we shouldn't just say, oh, I shouldn't have harsham, therefore I will not meet Amma, I will not see Amma. That's not the right perspective. It's not the right perspective. We shouldn't be overexcited, but we can be happy with respect to Amma's presence. We have to seek Amma's presence, whether we become happy or not, it doesn't matter, but we have to seek Amma. As far as possible, try to reduce the joy, try to reduce harsha, marsha, bhaya, udvegam with respect to everything. But with respect to the Guru, temporarily we can have a relaxation. We can say, okay, let me first, what we try to do is, we try to just get rid of harsha, marsha, bhaya, udvegam with respect to Sadguru, but we will still have with the entire world. So it's like telling a person trying to renounce karma. He renounces Lalita Sahasranama, chanting of Lalita Sahasranama. He thinks that he is in a matured state. He has been chanting Lalita Sahasranama for many years. Therefore, okay, let me stop it. That is what a person thinks. Okay, let me stop it. But what is really important is, has he got rid of the kartrutvam? Has he got rid of the hankaram? If he has not, then not chanting Lalita Sahasranama will only spoil his state. It will only cause more and more trouble. It will only take him towards the world, not towards Brahman. It will take him more towards sorrow. Therefore, that should never be done. So, until we reach a state where we are ready to renounce all karmas, good as well as bad, we should not renounce good karmas. The person can think, okay, I have been doing this for many years, so let me stop it now. Whether I do it or not, I am still blissful, so it is fine. We may think, but that is an illusion, that is the ego telling. We should never do that. In a similar way, we should never renounce the presence of Mahatmas like Amma, trying to learn from them, trying to get attached to them as much as possible, because without that we cannot proceed in the spiritual path. We just cannot get rid of harsha, marsha, bhaya, udvegam with respect to Sadguru, with respect to good things, and then have it with worldly things. So, Guru, attachment to the Guru also shouldn't be there. But then what will happen? Then Guru will cease to be Brahman, parents will become Brahman, and we know what will happen. We have people as living specimen of all those attitudes. Okay, Guru, I shouldn't have attachment to the Guru. Yes, you shouldn't have attachment to the Guru, but attachment to the Guru can be renounced, should be the last attachment to be renounced rather than the first attachment to be renounced. It is that attachment which will help us remove all other attachments. So that attachment should be there. We cannot let go of that attachment. It's like telling, okay, we have a bag and dress, our suits, dressing suit and all those things we have in a bag, and we have a stick as well, and we are going to do high jump. When we go, like, we say, okay, I have to renounce everything, because once I jump, I have to renounce everything. So let me let go first of the pole, and then I'll let go of the bag. What will happen? We'll not be able to jump across. So that should be the last thing to be renounced. Other things we have to renounce. Else what will happen is, we will renounce that attachment. We will renounce attachment to Sadguru. We will renounce attachment to Brahman. Well, Sadguru is a living example of Brahman. So we will renounce attachment to Sadguru, and then we will try to renounce other things. But the Sadguru's attachment, which was protecting us from all other attachments, that has gone. That means these attachments will grow. That means we will fall a prey to attachment towards our parents and all other things. Our state will become miserable. We will enter into samsara. never to get back again, because we have let go of the boat of Sadguru. That shouldn't happen. That should be the last thing to renounce. So the simple way to explain it is, first we have to try to renounce harsha, marsha, bhaya, udvegam with respect to worldly things. Spiritual things, it is fine. If Amrita Swarupananda is going to talk, I am happy, Amrita Swarupananda is going to talk, I have to go there. We can run and go, there is no problem in doing that, because it is something that is about a speech, about speak about Amma. It is a discourse on Amma, it is a discourse on Brahman, which can we can be attached to that. That is the last thing to be renounced, that is fine. Everything else we have to first renounce, and then last we can renounce. It's better, or it's very good if we are able to remain unaffected and not become so much joyful or impatient when we are about to meet Amma. If it is possible, well and good. But then we should also remember that if we don't have impatience towards meeting Amma, if we are not joyful in meeting Amma, if we don't have the real desire to meet Amma, we shouldn't have any other desires as well. If we have any other desires, better have this. This is something which will protect us. So it is the way out. It's like telling we are in a maze, and we have a route, or the key to the maze as to how to get out. We are in the center of the maze, we have a key to get out. As long as we haven't got out, that is what is going to help us. Wherever we go, it will say, this is where I am. We can find out, and then we can get out. But if we let go of that first itself, we will not be able to come out. So that is very important. It's something which is very simple. It might seem very simple, very very easy thing. I shouldn't say easy. It's something which might seem very simple, and this is not something even to mention, but it has to be mentioned, because people have done the mistake. People do the mistake. We shouldn't do that. After learning the Shastra, we should never do that mistake of renouncing the Sadguru. Not having these attitudes towards the Sadguru in the first itself is not good. That with respect to our Sadguru should be the last thing that we renounce with respect to anything. That alone will help us in the spiritual path. And Balakrishna doesn't say all this. Yes, he doesn't say all this because for him the Sadguru is Brahman. He speaks about Brahman, not as Sadguru in a form. He speaks about Brahman. He is speaking about Brahman in a form who is going to help us temporarily. Even that is good. So Balakrishna Nair is not against any person, any Sadguru who speaks about Brahman, who says we are Brahman, who says Advitiya Satyam, he is not against it. Only people who say, Amma is this form, Amma is great, Amma this form is great, Balakrishna Nair is against that, because even Amma is against saying that, she is Avatara, she is a form. She doesn't say that. She says everything is Ishvara. This is what she says. So that is what Amma also believes. So Amma is also against those or people who make such claims. Amrita Swarupananda doesn't make that claim. Amrita Atmananda Puri doesn't make that claim. Most of Amma's disciples, some of them make those claims, but we can just ignore it, saying that, they are just speaking for the normal people. For me, I know Amma is not this form. This Sadguru is not just form. I know it is a form which is going to help me. It is a light in this world, in the samsaram. It is a light which is also as illusory as samsaram, but it is a light which is going to help me get out of samsaram. So the next shloka, anapekshaha. Anapekshaha. Apekshaha means who desires. So we said like harsha, amarsha, bhaya, udvegam. So impatience means he doesn't seek. Therefore he has to be anapekshaha. Apekshaha means like who is expecting things out of the world. He is expecting out of worldly, the entire world he expects a lot. But this person doesn't expect anything from the world. He doesn't even expect from Brahman, because he is Brahman. He can expect from Brahman because we are not Brahman. We haven't realized it, so we have to expect. But here there is no expectation, because such a bhakta is one with Brahman, so he doesn't have any expectation. So anapekshaha shuchihi. Shuchihi means he is pure. He is pure from all perspective. External purity, internal purity, everything is there, because he is one with Brahman. Brahman cannot have any association. Nirlepaha. Nirlepaye namaha. So nirlepa means one who doesn't have attachment or association with anything, impurity. Not attachment, but association with impurity. So he is pure, shuchihi, pure from all perspective. And anapeksha shuchihi, dakshaha, one second. I'm not good in these few words and all, I'm not that good in asking. Dakshaha. Dakshaha means like, it's the same as Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati is called Daksha Prajapati because he knew what to do. He knew what is right action. That means with respect to action, doing the right action. So Dakshaha is not just Anapekshaha. He is Anapekshaha. He doesn't expect anything, but that doesn't mean he doesn't do actions. That doesn't mean he gets away from action. That doesn't mean he escapes from action. He still does actions, the right actions at the right time. Amma, if we analyze Amma, then we can clearly see it. For Balakrishnan Nair, there is no action, but still he does the actions or guides people when the right time comes. But with Amma, we know like whenever it is required, it comes. When tsunami hit, like Amma immediately gave money. When Katrina hit the US, Amma immediately gave money at the right time doing the or taking the right action, doing the right action. So that is Dakshaha. And Udaseenaha. So Udaseenaha means unaffected state. So Udaseenaha, in a way, Udaseenaha means there is no mitra, there is no friend or enemy. That means impartial to everything. So Udaseenam means like, if we analyze Amma, the moment we go in front of Amma, Amma is affected by what we say because she is a mirror. But the very next moment, it's like a mirror. We go in front of the mirror is affected by us. Seemingly affected. The moment we move away, it is impartial. So even when we are in front of the mirror, it is a pure mirror. So I imagine that it's a pure mirror. So it is impartial to whatever is there, it will reflect. So that's also the reason why if we ask a question to Amma, it depends on how we ask, what we really mean to ask, what is our real intention, the answer also will be based on that because it is a Udaseena, it is impartial. Whatever is there inside us, that will come out. That's also the reason why Ramana Maharshi used to say, the answer is there in the question itself. So the answer is inside us, we don't know it. But the way we put the question, we will get the answer back. Because the answer also is in the question. When we go in front of the mirror, what happens? We will find out, oh, something is wrong. Like I haven't combed my hair properly. I haven't like put tikka properly. Like there is something like I haven't shaved properly. So all those we can see when we go in front of the mirror. But it also depends on what we see. We may not see some things. We may not see, we will be focusing on just the tikka. So we will not see about hair or beard. So that means it's our perspective, the way we see. It is impartial, but just because it is impartial doesn't mean that everything will be displayed in it. Everything will be displayed, but it depends on what we apprehend. So that is what a Mahatma like Amma or a real Bhakta is Udaseena. He is impartial to anything and everything. Impartiality doesn't mean that impartial, like we can say there are people like who are impartial or people who say that okay, I don't support this nor do I support this. There are two things, I don't support any of those. So it's not a person who does that. So like there are people in the world who say I don't want Vedantam, I don't want world as well. I want the middle path. So it is the same what the Madhyamika school of Buddhism took. The Shanika Vijnana Vadam is one extreme. And then the other are Hinayanas, Sautrantikas and Vaibhasikas, those are different. So those are two extremes. So amidst those two extremes, they said, okay, we are, Buddha didn't teach these two extremes. He said the middle path, so Madhyamaka, Madhyamakam or Madhyamikam is a middle path. So Madhyamaka system is middle path. So some people just take the middle path, they just ignore both. That such people will not even be involved in anything. So it is like just being a mere witness and not doing anything. I am udhaasinam to the entire world. But just because we are udhaasinam to the entire world doesn't mean that we are realized. A realized person will be udhaasinam, but he is daksha. Daksha means he will do actions where they are required, when they are required. So Balakrishna Nair knows that the world is an illusion. He is udhaasina with respect to the entire world. In that case, how can he speak? How can he speak about Brahman? How can he help us out? He cannot help us out by or with his discourses. If he does that means he is a daksha. He knows what is required for people out of him. When it is required, he speaks as per that. Amma is a perfect example. Whatever actions are required comes out. She is impartial, but that doesn't mean impartiality can also mean that udaasina means indifferent attitude in a way we can say. That attitude also means inaction in many cases. So it is almost the same as inaction, but here it's not inaction, it is indifferent. It is just reflects things the way they are. Or if something comes in front of them, they reflect it the way it is. They are sakshis, but still actions happen from the sakshi as well. Since he is a Mahatma is a sakshi, doesn't mean he doesn't do any action. He does actions like Amma. There are many few or very few Mahatmas like Ramana Maharshi wouldn't do any action. But Ramana Maharshi also did quite a lot of action for the world, benefit of the world. He wrote works and all. If he is a sakshi, how can he write? He cannot write. So that means from a sakshi also actions come. But from a sakshi, if we are a sakshi, it is very clear the reason why our actions are tainted, our actions give us bad fruit is that, or the fruit, not good fruit, anything apart from good fruit we get because we are attached to the action. So any moment when we do some action, if we are attached to the action, then we will not be able to do it perfectly. So that's also the reason why some people say, oh, I cannot help out my friend. Why? Because I am too much involved with her. I am too much involved with her, so I cannot help her out. She is married, but I am too much involved to her. I have a soft corner for her. I am too much involved that I cannot help her out. So why cannot help out? Because too much involvement. That means too much attachment. That is kartrutvam. If we have kartrutvam, if we are the karta, then we are attached to the karma. That means, in a way, like we seek a phalam. So seeking that phalam, our action will happen. So we don't get the total perspective. We don't get the overall perspective. Whereas, that is also the reason why when something happens for some other person, we'll be able to comment on it because at that time we are a sakshi. I'm not affected. It's for somebody else. Somebody else is losing a house. Somebody else is losing a husband. I don't care because somebody else is losing. So why should I really care? Because they are sakshi. Therefore, the right attitude comes up. Okay, I'll be able to guide the person, give the person proper instruction. But when it comes to us, we cannot be the sakshi. We are not the sakshi, therefore, right action will not come. So, from a sakshi, if we become a sakshi of one day, like it's just one day, if we try to be a sakshi of all our actions, then we'll be able to see as to, okay, what is the right action I should do? What should I do in this case? We'll be easily able to see because we are a witness. It's as if somebody else is doing, which means our intellect will work fine. We have the overall perspective. It will happen fine. So that is what dakshaha, right action will only come from a sakshi. So impartial udhaasinaha, but sakshi actions will happen. So both go hand in hand. So actions happen, just because actions happen doesn't mean he is a karta because he is udaasina. Just because he is udaasina doesn't mean he is inactive like a indifferent person, but he also does action because dakshaha. Gatavyataha. So gatavyataha. So we saw that bhaya muktaha. So harsha amarsha bhayo. Bhaya udvegair muktaha or mukto yasachame priyaha. When it comes as part of the sentence, it becomes mukto, it is muktaha. So bhaya muktaha, so here it means gata vyataha. So vyataha means sorrow. So in a way, it is kind of fear. Fear causes a lot of sorrow. But here it means dukkham. Gata means gone. Vyataha, dukkham. So vyatha, we say. I think vyatha is a different word. Yeah, vyatha is another language, but vyataha means dukkham. So gata vyataha means there is no dukkham. So Shankara interprets vyataha as bhayam. As far I have known, like I read the Shankara Bhashyam some time back. So Shankara says gata bhayaha, which is the same as bhaya muktaha. But vyataha can also be interpreted here. In this particular context, we can interpret it as any sense of sorrow. Sorrow is gone. Fear is gone also is fine. So why has fear gone? Fear has gone because he is udasinaha. He is indifferent. So indifferent attitude or the sakshi bhavam. Indifference can also, as I said, indifference can mean inactivity or sakshi. Here it is sakshi. That means there cannot be any fear. For a sakshi, there cannot be any fear. Moreover, udasinam indifferent dakshaha. All those is because he knows that the world is an illusion. So a person who runs behind water in the desert, knowing that there is no water in desert, he'll be able to run in a better way. Another person will be like so much excited because he is attached to the water, he wants the water, he'll run like a mad person. And since he is running like a mad person, overexcited, harsham will be there. Oh, water is there. What will happen? Majority of the case, as we see in films or depicted in films or in real life situations, the person will trip and fall because he is so excited. But here that is not there because he knows that there is no water. So he'll be able to run the right way. And he'll say to the other person, see, I ran perfectly, unlike you. Though he also knows that there is no water. So that means, when a person knows that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Jagat is Mithya, then actions will be better, action will be the best, because there is no attachment. And such a person doesn't have any fear, he doesn't fear about doing a particular action, an action like which may even killing a person, like Sri Krishna says in Gita. Sorry, again in Gita, we are learning Gita. So at the end of Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that kill, don't worry. That is what Krishna says. Because person who is in such a state, who is concentrating on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, he doesn't have any fear because he knows that the world is an illusion. Person might fear, oh, if I run behind or if I run too fast behind the water and desert, I might fall into the water. And who knows, there may be a crocodile in the water. I have to be a little bit careful. He'll be a little bit careful. He'll be afraid. But here, oh, is that water pure? Will I get some throat disease? I may get some water problems. Disease from watery disease I'll get. So should I drink? Should I test it? All those he will think. The fear will come. Fear will arise out of those thoughts. But here, there will be no fear for a person who knows that there is no water in the desert because he knows there is no water. Like any worldly person, he'll also run behind it. He'll show maybe as if he is drinking, but he is not afraid because he knows that it doesn't really exist. So as a result of the knowledge that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Gata Vyataha, he doesn't have any fear. So if he doesn't have fear, he is a daksha, he does actions in the right sense. He does the right action in an indifferent attitude. It means he is a sakshi. He doesn't have kartrutvam. So till now, kartrutvam is not there. In a way, if there is fear of, if fear is there, then that means there is kartrutvam. If we fear when we do an action, kartrutvam is definitely there. So we can also say maybe that daksha udhasina gata vyataha, all are with respect to action. So kartrutvam, with respect to kartrutvam was spoken here, but does he have bhoktrutvam? Maybe it is like the Sankhya philosophy, like you are not the karta, Purusha is not the karta, Prakriti is the karta, but Prakriti does actions for Purusha. So that means Purusha is the bhokta, he is akarta but bhokta, he doesn't do things but he gets fruits. It's like telling I was born in a very wealthy family, I didn't do anything, I am not doing anything, my father did, I am enjoying it. So it can be that way. So does he have bhoktratvam? So sarva aramba parityagi, sarva aramba parityagi. Tyagi means renouncing, parityagi means total renunciation of sarva aramba. So aramba means starting of any action. So he is totally free, he has renounced all starting of action. So starting of action, or action is started with seeking a phala. We do actions with respect to phalam, or our eye is on the phalam when we start action. But here there cannot be any action because such a person doesn't have any. He has renounced all actions, all starting of actions. So sarva arambha parityagi. There is no bhoktrutva matter. There is no craving for phalam. There is no start of action. Because he is udasina, he is sakshi, yet actions continue. At the vyavaharika level, from the empirical perspective, actions do continue in the best possible way. Still, he doesn't have any craving for action. That means phala icha is not there, which means that he is neither the karta nor the bhokta. Such a person, yo mad bhaktaha, such a mad bhaktaha, such a person, such a bhakta who is, who has all these qualities, such a me priyaha, same priyaha, he is very dear to me. So, a person who is unaffected, untroubled by the world, and the world is untroubled by him because he knows Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So, all actions are for the welfare of the world, and actions of the world doesn't affect him. And Harsha Amarsha Bhaya Udvega Muktaha. He is Udvegair Muktaha. He is free from Harsha. Amarsha, Harsha joy, Amarsham. Amarsham means impatience, bhaya or fear, and Udvegam. Udvegam means distress or anxiety. He is away from all these qualities because he knows that there is only one Brahman. He is full. In a way we can say, santushtaha sadatam, sadatam santushtaha. Because of that, he is content, therefore he doesn't have any of this. And anapekshaha, because he is content, he doesn't seek anything. But still he does actions at the empirical level. From a person, Ajnani's perspective, he still does actions. At the empirical level, actions do happen in the best possible way. Still he is impartial, indifferent to the action in general. He doesn't fear anything. He doesn't fear the action or the result of the action. He doesn't start. He has renounced all starting of action. That means he doesn't have bhuktratvam. So he doesn't have kartratvam and he doesn't have bhuktratvam. Such a devotee, such a bhakta is very dear to me. So once again, maybe we'll chant the shloka. I think I didn't chant it correctly. Or probably,
Yasmanno dvijate loko.
Yasmanno
dvijate loko. Lokanno dvijate chayaha.
Lokanno dvijate chayaha.
Harshamarsha bayo dvegaihi.
Harshamarsha bayo dvegaihi.
Mukto yassa cha me priyaha.
Mukto yassa cha me priyaha.
Anapeksha shuchir dakshaha.
Anapeksha shuchir dakshaha.
Udhasino gatavyatah.
Udhasino gatavyatah.
Sarvarambha parityagi.
Sarvarambha parityagi.
Yo madbhaktas same priyah.
Yo madbhaktas same priyah.
Yeah, there are three more shlokas which speak about such a, which are on the same line, but till now we have, in total, we have 4 shlokas which speak about the qualities. So we can try to see whether, as seekers, we can try to see where we fit in or how much we have, like how much we are in the spiritual path by trying to look at these qualities. If we need any more explanation or any more analysis of these qualities, we just need to look at Balakrishna Nair or in Amma. Balakrishna Nair is not accessible like Amma is. So we have Amma, so therefore we can look at Amma. We can look at Amma and then see as to how we can relate or how we can implement these qualities, because by a Mahatma like Amma is a true Bhakta who has implemented all these qualities. So that will help us to find out whether we qualify as a true Bhakta or how much we qualify as a true Bhakta, where we stand where we stand in the path from ajnanam to jnanam, or from an abhakta to a bhakta, or where we stand so that the goal of moksha or bhakti or para bhakti, which will give us anandam, where we stand in between that. Or in short, brahma satyam jagat mithya, how much clear we have, we are on that. Shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, at least mananam, how much clear we are on mananam, that will be reflected while we analyze any of these qualities and see as to where we really stand. We'll continue later, I'm sure.